Good evening. I call this December 5th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting to order. My name is Daryl Boziger. I am the chairman of the Planning Commission. It's my pleasure to welcome you here. This is a public meeting and you are encouraged to be part of the process. Please participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. There are several rules to keep us proceed with an orderly meeting and I ask that you keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need them, take a call, please step out of the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I'll recognize you and ask you to come forward to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so others have an opportunity to speak. However, focus on the comments and we'll help you keep track of the time. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meeting Law is posted at both exits. I will now ask for a roll call of members.
Boziger?
Here.
Poleska? Pounds? Kading? Hanson?
Here.
Radnor?
Here.
Schroeder? Boswell?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
Thank you. Agenda item number 3, approval of the minutes for the November 7th, 2023 meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Radnor, second by Heinrich to approve the minutes. Any further discussion? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
I will open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Glenn A. and Diane M. Nelson, 12600 County Road P26, Blair, Nebraska, to allow two accessory structures in the second front of the primary structure on Lot 6 Highland Estates subdivision in Section 26, Township 18 North, Range 11, east of the 6 p.m., Washington County, Nebraska, except the west 175 feet of 12600 County Road P26 for the life of the primary structure. Jeff.
Well, good evening, commissioners, and we have a much shorter agenda tonight than last week. So your first consideration tonight is the conditional use permit by Mr. and Mrs. Nelson. They live in our ETJ south of Blair on the intersection of P26 and the rest of 133 in Highland Estates. So Highland Estates, the subdivision zoning overlay is RRE, Rural Residential Estates. They do have a corner lot which has two fronts, which means you have the primary front, your secondary front. The secondary front is the reason they are here for that conditional use permit. They want to build a 24 by 24 accessory structure or garage. It will be 50 feet from the property line per the state statutes, or excuse me, per the setback requirements for federally controlled highways. Section 1103 accessory building talks about why they are here for this conditional use permit. We don't allow garages, accessory structures in front of any building in residential. Ag is different, but for RRE, they did make an exception, and RL, larger lots. So it was decided that to put something in front, you need to go and get a special use permit. This shows you the area of Highland Estates subdivision here. This is their lot right here. This is the City of Blair Water Tower, mobile home park across 133. And again, here's Highland Estates. You know, there are already several buildings that have structures out front. The conditional use permit for that one for sure. Those two are in limbo. We're looking for them. They were built probably 1999 and 2001. The 2006 is the year that the zoning was changed to have allow structures in front. No explanation why they're there, but this person does have a CUP for his structure. You'll notice that there's already a structure here. And they also said this was with their house when they bought it. It's been there a long time, probably pre-zoning, which is why in the application we added two accessory structures, which they're allowed to the front, to make this one a legal accessory structure also. This is a picture of their lot. This is, he's already got the areas marked out, approximate location of the 24 by 24 garage. This is the front of their house looking from P26 North. Again, here's the location of the assuming you grow. Any questions for staff?
I have a question for them probably. But I do have a question. So is there a limit how many accessory structures you can have?
In residential, it's two. And no more than the X amount of square feet. Say 10,000 foot lot in the middle of city, you can have two, no more than 864 square feet. The larger you can have or allowed for square footage, kind of goes up with lot size, but the number of accessory structures is always two.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, Jeff? Is the applicant here tonight? Could you please come forward and state your name and address? Thank you. My question is, you're planning to have a garage there, right?
Yeah, it's going to be for storage.
Well, I assume, because I didn't see it mapped out, that there's going to be a driveway to the structure.
Looks like there's a turnout for the, in that one.
There would be a, there would be like a concrete pad in front of it, about the same size as the garage.
You're not going to have anything else out on the street, so you're just going to go in and then go over to the garage, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out how, make sure we know.
Yeah, like right now I go in that gravel park there.
Right.
I've got my attached garage there. And that little place that goes that way, before we back up, turn around.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go in and then.
Then go in that way.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my question. Anybody else have a question of the applicant? Thank you.
Thanks.
Does anyone else have, as I would like to speak on this CUP for the two, for an extra building? Not seeing any, I'll close the public hearing and see what the council would like to do, or the commission would like to do. Council. Sorry, we're not the council yet.
I'd recommend approval of the conditional use permit submitted.
I agree.
Recommend approval by Hanson, agree, second by Radner. Any other discussion? Yes.
Was there any written objections or anything to this piece?
I didn't ask that.
No.
Good point. Hearing none, please vote. Someone not pick it?
No.
Oh.
Let's see. Sorry, I'm going to have to do it again. That was my fault.
Do it again?
I don't know why I was.
Yeah. Okay.
I was on the same one.
All commission members present voting aye.
So it passes and it'll go to city council next Tuesday. I'll open a public hearing to consider an ordinance annexing and extending the corporate limits of the city of Blair to include the real estate, which is generally described as tax lots 252 and 280 in section 13, township 18 north, range 11, tax lots 15, 42, 43, 47, and 48 in section 18, township 18 north, range 12, and tax lots 66 and 67 in section 19, township 18 north, range 12, all east of the 6 p.m., including those portions of County Road P35A adjoining the above listed tax lots in Washington County, Nebraska. Jeff.
Thank you. Your next consideration is the annexation of about 240 acres on the south edge of the city of Blair. Along Highway 75, just to the northeast of that, and then, of course, out of our corporate limits. This is within the ETJ, not going beyond the ETJ. or 2 mile extraterritorial jurisdiction. This is a current map view of the area as it is now. These little lines here is our corporate city limit, Dollar General, residential here, industrial over there, and this is the area we're talking about in this area. Does include the church there and the separate parcel there for Luxa Construction. Again, showing the area, the approximately 240 acres, including Highway 75 and P35A, that is up for your consideration for annexation. It's a little tighter map showing, again, the right-of-way that's agreeing to annex. This is P35A. This is railroad. This is not part of that. This does show different tax lots. And finally, this is what the new corporate limits will look like if this is recommended and passed by council. Annexation will add about 3.06 lane miles to the city's road system. Snow removal on 75 and P35A will be conducted by the city of Blair. They have adequate equipment, adequate people to make sure that that's kept clean. And according to the annexation report that was in your packet, talks about all that any of this annexation should not have any impact on city services. Right now, you have a water line coming down South 10th Street and then going south along Highway 75 to the approximate ends at the Fort Calhoun Nuclear Station, decommission station, and then there is a 12-inch sewer line that comes along South 10th Street right there also that terminates right there. So there's ample city services ready to be hooked up. And it's whoever purchases that property. There's been some people looking into it now. It may or may not happen. We don't know, but we are going to recommend annexation for this because when you're living this close to the city, you're getting water, you're getting sewer, you're getting electricity, you're getting all the benefits of living in the city. However, you're not in the city, so you're not really paying city sales tax and stuff like that. So that is the recommendation why we think this annexation should go forward. Any questions from staff?
I do. Sorry.
That's okay.
First off, I'm just curious, who requests this annexation? Do the city is that requesting it, or did someone else ask for it?
So there's two different ways you can do it. It can be city or originated, which is what we did, or the actual landowner themselves can ask to be annexed. The only rules by the state are that it has to be continuous, in which case these all are. This will not have an effect on the current landowners on there. If they're taking green belt, if you've heard that term for taxes, this year, we did check with the Washington County Assessor. This year, the governor did sign into law a law that says even if you're in city limits, you're farming, you can still apply for that, what they call green belt taxation. So it used to be why we didn't do this before was because nobody, if there wasn't any reason to have it, why subject the farmer or landowner to higher taxes? In this case, whether we take it or not, it will not matter for their taxation. That does, I believe, give the city a little bit easier time when it comes to annexing this because we're not going to put an undue hardship.
Okay. My next question.
Okay.
You said it's going to increase 3-some miles in part of the city, but I don't know where those 3 miles comes from. What 3 miles are you talking about?
Well, we've got US 75 right here.
So 75 will be in the city then?
Will be.
Oh, okay.
And
that's what I didn't understand.
P35A ending at the railroad spur.
Okay, I thought the line went on the east side of 75, but it's
no,
on
this
the...
is included. That's in the in our map here.
Okay.
It talks about all of 75 in these sections.
Okay.
And that would be right away to right away.
But the state will still be responsible for taking care of 75.
So we will absorb whatever is inside city limits will be ours. Now, right now, we do have a contract with the state for public works to maintain the highways inside the city itself.
Okay.
So
yeah.
That has to be changed too, right?
The extraterritorial jurisdiction? Yeah, well, it's an option for us to change that if we'd like to. And so if this is approved by the council, then we'll take some time to kind of evaluate what that looks like and then potentially bring that back to you and then back to the council, yeah, to extend that. The only other thing, Jeff, I'd like to add is State statute basically mandates that when you annex up to a street, you end up taking over responsibility for that street.
So that's why.
Highway 75 in that section really isn't our choice. It's also one of the reasons why when we have annexed in other areas in the industrial, that maybe we haven't taken some lots that were right along a street like Industrial Drive. We've not annexed any of those lots, we've annexed up to them. So if you look at where the city's boundary is going down Grant Street, East Grant Street towards Industrial Drive, we stop before we get to any of the lots that are on Industrial Drive, because if we annex them, we'd automatically have to take in that road. Right now it's a county road, they take care of all the maintenance responsibility for it. The other thing I'd add too is, and you really notice it in the plan that was in the packet, because municipalities have to put together basically a plan that dictates how you're going to begin to provide municipal services to that particular area. So it's all kind of laid out there in that plan. But the main thing to understand about this lot is it's being actively, you know, marketed for industrial purposes. More than likely, we've got several large industries that are looking at it that would buy the whole thing and utilize the whole lot. So it's not even really going to become a subdivision. We're not going to have municipal streets that would be going through that area. So all the utilities that are necessary for them to build on that lot are there already. It just really doesn't make any sense that it's not really just part of the city, and since everything's there for them to use.
Maybe you can, I don't know if you can answer this, but I see that the looks like our police, we get a number of policemen based on the number of people here, but don't they have, doesn't it increase their workload if they can do industrial areas also?
Sure, and that's always something to be considered. Most annexation plans though relate to the number of service calls that you get. Yes, you always get service calls based on businesses, but the reality is you get more based on family residences and the number of families, number of people that might be in the community. Obviously, we'll end up, you know, with whatever kind of business comes here, could have several hundred new employees that would be located there. Yes, you'll get some service calls because of that. And that's one of the things that future councils will just have to kind of keep in mind when they're looking at our police force and whether they feel like we've got, you know, sufficient numbers to handle the need. But it's a little nebulous in state law on what that annexation plan really should say. It kind of leaves it up to the municipality to make the argument before the public why they think it should be, you know, annexed. The simplest thing here is when you have no new residences, well, that's not going to have a huge impact then on certain needs. But obviously on some of our utility stuff, water usage, sewer production, could have a fairly substantial, you know, impact on the city. But that's what cities are here for, you know, sell water and drink things. So.
Thank you. Does anyone else have questions? I know I had some, but...
No, go ahead. I think you got it.
Anybody in the public would like to speak on this issue? Seeing nothing, I'll close the public meeting and turn it over to the commission.
Make a motion to approve the annexation as presented.
Second.
Motion by Boswell, seconded by Hanson to approve the annexation as presented. Any more discussion? Questions? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
You obviously know that it's going to go to the council next week. Report from staff.
You want to?
You can go to.
I was going to talk about the changes with...
go ahead, and then I'll end.
Okay. There's been a proposal that started in January. Typically, we meet first Tuesday, and then the second Tuesday is council, that carries over to that council. There's been a suggestion that we actually move whatever the Planning Commission decides to the second council meeting of that month. This is to give council and others more time to prepare and make changes. It gives them another week instead of that couple week up. There's been changes or ordinances that have to be changed. So that is a done deal, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an administrative action. But it also allows us to change a little bit on how we do notices right now to the public. The way it is right now, just because of the amount of time that's required when you put a notice in the newspaper for public hearings, and all the stuff that comes before the Planning Commission is a public hearing, therefore there's going to be a public hearing before the City Council as well. The way we do notices right now is it's the exact same notice that talks about the public hearings for the Planning Commission, says these same items will all appear before the City Council on such and such a date. We've run into situations over the years where, for one reason or another, one item gets held at the Planning Commission because you're not quite ready to make a recommendation yet, which is great. But because of the fact we've already put it in a notice in the paper, we have to have it go to the City Council. So we just bring it up at the council, we tell them that the Planning Commission hasn't acted on that yet, you need to go ahead and table this item, and then they go ahead and table it. Well, it just creates a little bit of unnecessary work. And it does kind of have a fairly short time frame involved in there if there's any other activities or things that need to be done because of actions that you take. And so instead of being the very first council meeting of the month, it'll now slide to the second council meeting of the month, which is always on that fourth Tuesday instead of the second Tuesday. So as Planning Commission members, if you do want to come see, you know, what the council action is going forward, then starting next year, don't come to that. Well, you can come, come on. If you want to see the item that was talked about at the Planning Commission, wait until that second meeting of the month. December, though, is always going to be a little different generally because historically the council is usually canceled the second meeting of the month just because of the holiday season. So in December, and if there was any other weird situation, we might let the public know that, nope, we're going to go ahead and have all the items from the Planning Commission be on that very first council agenda. But most of them now will be on that second one by the month.
Can I make I want to make a comment, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because I, a lot of times, go to the County Planning Commission, and they're often unhappy that it has to wait till the last Board of Supervisors meeting because it takes quite a while for these people to start doing the work they want to do and stuff. I just mentioned that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do this. I'm just pointing out that was one of the complaints people had with the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. We had a lot of internal conversation. People do appreciate, developers oftentimes appreciate the fact that it's bang, bang, bang. We can kind of move fairly quickly. But there's those other times where it just kind of creates an administrative problem and challenge for us. So we internally talked and said, well, let's go ahead and try it at least for a while. We'll see what it's like. It's not uncommon. A lot of other municipalities don't have it at the immediate next meeting simply because it's usually a pretty short time frame in there. It's been a while since we've had preliminary plats or other developments like that have come forward. Sometimes there's a request that the Planning Commission makes, and for them to actually get the drawings changed, submitted back to us, ready to be on the council agenda so they can get in the packet just a week later. It's a pretty quick turnaround for some of those companies.
Yeah.
What is your notice time for public notice?
For public hearings, it's 10 days. And so we officially would be having to advertise the council meeting. If we did them separate, we'd advertise the council meeting still before the Planning Commission has even been held, which is why we put it in the paper. It's a little earlier than what it would need to be, but historically they've always just kind of saved the money. Now we'll spend a little bit more, but they'll be able to wait until the Planning Commission's done. This would be a good example. You know, obviously papers come out Tuesdays and Fridays. The Friday paper, the notices usually due Wednesday morning. We can have a Tuesday night Planning Commission meeting, have kind of the notice for the paper ready to go with all the stuff that's on there, but then make some quick edits first thing Wednesday morning, still get it to the newspaper, meet the 10-day deadline, and then make that second meeting.
Probably wouldn't make any difference to anybody but me, but I would have made more meetings if it had been that way all these years. Because I'm always gone Labor Day and Memorial Day.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. So.
You get those off.
Anything else, Jeff?
No, sir.
All right, only other thing I would like to do is publicly to acknowledge and extend our appreciation to Don Hansen. Don's been on the Planning Commission since Blair had a Planning Commission. Not quite that long. Almost that long. But we were talking earlier, 1984.
Mapped the first wagon road.
Yeah. When the first well went in. Almost 40 years. And so we greatly appreciate your diligence. I know the time that I got to spend with the Planning Commission, it was always a joy. Your knowledge, your understanding of the issues, your historical perspective has always really been good. So we appreciate your service. And we will bring you back when we have a plaque ready at a council meeting to officially thank you. But appreciate all you've done for us now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
That's all I have, sir.
Anything else? Make a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Radner, second by Boswell to adjourn. Please vote.
You mean technically you should have made the motion to adjourn as your last meeting.
All commission members present voting aye.
Thank you, folks.